So Pastor Donald is on his way. He is speaking tonight, but evidently, as you can see by our sign, he's in some pretty bad traffic. And there's not a lot of teenagers upstairs, so instead of sit here and look at each other, I thought maybe we would talk a little bit about this morning's message, which is what we do on Sunday nights often with the teens. So, dear Lord, we just ask that you would bless us tonight, somehow use these words to touch us, to keep us, to hold us, and just continue to be with Don and Stephanie and Seth and the family, Lord, as they mourn the passing of our mentor. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it was very good this morning, very powerful this morning. I thought he did a fantastic job as he has stepped into this role as our pastor. He's done fantastic. This word shaken, Hebrews 12, 25 through 28, he spoke of this morning, and he said that, what is it that the Lord will has shaken and will shake again? I was wondering, anybody here notice anything shaking? Anything in your life shaking? I can tell you that the word makes me nervous because there was a group that came out with a song that was a big hit. And the song, I don't know the name of it, but it was Shaken. Was the big part of it was Shaken. Neither rain nor this nor fire. Sal sang it a few times. We went to the concert and my house burnt down. So when I hear that word shaken, it's a little bit, okay, let's be easy here. But that was, remember we went to that concert and we came back from there. Ah, he's here. The man is here. So I want you to think about that. What in our life is shaking? And what in our life is stable? You know? And that's a personal thing. Because we all know what that which is from above versus that which is from below or natural. But really think, what is it in our life that is not shaking? What is it that doesn't change? What is it that can go through? What is it that holds true no matter what goes on? Right? And we know what that is. But in reality, do we really have our hand on it? You know, Pastor Mark used to have these special verses and tapes, actually messages, and he called them his soldiers. And he had three or four that he would play whenever he hit that time, you know, the difficulties in life or whatever. He had those guys for that. So you think about it. What do you have? What do you have in your quiver to answer the shaking of the world? Right? What do we have? Have we grasped what is stated here? Do you have a promise from God? Do you have a personal promise for God that for situations? And I think that's a real challenge tonight as Pastor Donald comes up and starts. I just stepped in here, that's all. But really, do you have a personal promise from God for your situation? Right? If you don't, maybe it'd be a good idea to ask. Wouldn't it be awesome as the situation raises up and to be able to say, I have the answer. Right? Sal was talking about swords this morning. What is it they say? Parley, I think, is the word when you prevent a sword from hitting. What if we had a defense prepared for Satan that we can stop his blow before it even gets close? Right? So as Donald walks up here, please think about those things. And I know we're going to get a great message right now. So welcome, Donald.
I am so sorry. I don't know why. I was thinking 6:30. I have no idea. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for men like Pastor Doug and his faithfulness, Lord. And just this whole week, just thinking about Pastor Morrison and his service and how faithful he was to the things he was doing and how much joy he put into everything he was doing, you know. All the effort, all the time, and we'll just bless these few words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the title of this message is The Prodigal Daughter. So I was thinking of my time in my wilderness season where Pastor Morrison even mentioned me by name. It was one of his fiery messages, and he was like, when are you young men gonna grow up and start following God? And I was sitting right back there, and he's like, yeah, Donald, when is the time? Yeah, it was something, you know? And my best friend was sitting next to me, and he's like hitting me in the elbow. I'm like, yo, stop. Like, I heard what he said, but it was good. You know, it was good. Cause that's sometimes you need a little kick, you know, and then you have men like Pastor Doug always, you know, just continue to see, you continue to see growth and continue to encourage. And it's a beautiful thing. So we're just going to review, Luke 15, if you don't mind turning there, with the prodigal son. And then, and we'll go there. So verse 11. So Luke 15, verse 11. And when you're there, just give me a hallelujah so I know when you're ready. Amen. 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 Okay, church. We ready. All right. So Pastor Love calls this parable, the parable of the father's heart. And I love that. And then so verse 11 says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions and with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. In verse 17, but when he came and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger, and I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And we'll pause right there, because in verse 18, he had a quick, really a revelation of some sort of who he really was. He knew there was a father. He knew that he had to go back to his father. All this prodigal living, not finding fulfillment in the land of that was famine, he said, oh, no, but my father. And so in verse 19, it says, and then I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Like right there, just asserting himself to a role of, oh, I don't deserve, or I shouldn't be called, or I'm not worthy enough. Like guilt, shame, and fear in source, right? In Genesis 3:10, right? Adam, he heard his voice, and Adam's like, I was afraid, fear. Because I was naked, shame, and then I hid, right? So guilt. So that same feeling when you walk in a prodigal life, like the projections that the devil brings to you, saying, "Oh no, you're not worthy. No, no, you're not worthy enough to go back to your father. You're not worthy enough." This is all from his projections. So make me like one of the servants, right? So I love the point where the only reason why we serve God is because we love him, right? 1 John 4:19. And the reason why we love him is because he first loved us. How many people walk away from church because they believe, it's a master that they serve and it's all about that, but yet they never get the time to know the Father's heart. They never get the time. They get into programs and programs and programs, events. like just conventions, maybe they go to convention, but yet they never come stop to the point and say, let me learn the Father's heart. Let me get to know the Father's heart. And here with this, the younger son, already in shame, already in guilt, already in fear, already asserting himself as a pet, like feeding him with what the pigs eat. He already asserted himself. Like, all right, that's what I deserve. That's what I deserve. And so in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said in verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And I'm paused there for a reason. And let us eat and be merry. And for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, and I have never transgressed your commandments. And at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Okay, let's, in this verse here, I have been serving you. And again, the older brother didn't know the father's heart. It's like we get into a work mentality when we're supposed to get into know Christ and the things we do. And so, let's finish it out here in verse 30. But as soon as the son of yours come, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And we make, again, and we make things a work program, and then it's sad that we put burdens on ourselves, like we have to fulfill something. And if it's all about works, you don't have to turn here, but Matthew 7:21-23, and where the crowd was saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We baptized in your name. We cast demons out in your name. And then what was his response? I never knew you. I never knew you. All the works that you were getting into, all the duties, the Christian duties, yet you never got the time to know my heart, to know who I am. This morning, John 8:35 was so fresh. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And again, in verse 24, it says, let us be merry. This is what the father's intent. He's like, stop doing what you're doing. And just let's be glad to be here. Be merry to be here. Let's rejoice in one another here. This is you're my sons. This is your identity. I want you here with me. I rejoice when you're with me. There's joy, there's refreshment, there's security when you're with the Father. And so, where true love is in, the confusion of the lies stay out. You know, both sons didn't understand the Father's heart. It wasn't about performance or a perfect record. It was a Father who loved them. It wasn't about the son's love for the Father. It was always the Father's love for his son. And 2 Timothy 2:13 is one of my favorite verses. And it says, even when I'm faithless, he remains faithful. And I like to go relating to this story. There's sometimes what the father is pleading out to his sons. There's sometimes that you don't love me. There's sometimes that you don't love me. But that's fine. I'm still loving you. I'm faithful to that. I'm faithful to you. Regardless of what your stance and your status and how you think you are, I love you. And these, why, and this is the reason why the sons didn't get it. Either of them. Right? So, as the oldest son leaves the house, then this is where we're going to start on the prodigal daughter. Let's just, the bridge verse, Jeremiah 2, verse 27. It's going to be a little bridge between these two portions. So, Jeremiah 2, 27. Mind turning there. Let's just get this bridge verse. It's very important to what we want, we're trying to bring out tonight. Jeremiah 2, 27. Saying to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you gave birth to me, for they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. So let me give you a picture of what that looks like. They've turned their back, but not their necks or not their heads. Why? Because Isaiah 55:11 says his word doesn't return void. This is the reason why one ear is still looking back, because God's word is so powerful. Even prodigal living, even when you're in experience, when you're in the wilderness and you're lost and you're without hope, you still remember the promises of God. You still remember, you still have a father. He still had a father to go back to. And so let's go to the prodigal daughter, Judges 19. And I pray this becomes like fresh for all of us. And again, I understand the title of the chapter here in the book is not that, but we'll bring it out tonight. Judges 19, and we won't read the whole thing. Judges 19. And it came to pass in the days when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite staying in the remote mountains of Ephraim. And he took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem to Judah. But his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah. And it was there for four whole months. So for four months, she's with her father. And just like the prodigal in Luke 15, he was merry. When the prodigal came back, the father was merry about it. There was a love for it, for his sons to be returned, for his son to be returned home. Let's look at verse 3. Then her husband arose and went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back. To speak kindly to her to bring her back. And the Amplified says tenderly. In other translations, it says friendly. And I'm thinking about how the world is, right? How the world is so kind and so friendly of what they say. Oh, it's fine. Alcohol is fine. Just take a few sips. It's okay. It's a party. You're supposed to gather. You're supposed to have fun. Just take a few drugs. Oh, drug, come on. Don't, you take more of it, then that's when you become an addict. Well, a few of them would be all right, you know? Fornication. Come on. It's between you and that person, or pornography. It's okay. Just a few glances of it. It's okay. These kind words will lead you to destruction. And this woman was unfaithful to him for a reason. But yet she went to her father's house. And this is why this title is not called the prodigal daughter. Because in the end, and if many of you know the story, what happens, but we'll get to it. All right. So verse 3. Let's end with verse. Having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him, so she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. And now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, and he stayed with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and lodged there. Then it came to pass on the fourth day that they arose early in the morning. And he stood to depart. But the young woman's father said to his son-in-law, refresh your heart with morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. So they sat down, and the two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, please be content to stay all night, and let your heart be merry. And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him. So he, knowing that your dad is a hunter, right? How many men got intimidated by that alone, right? Oh my goodness. Like, you know, he's killing deer and animals, you know. So I'm thinking, like, for a father, though, like, the only reason they're accepting you is because what? The daughter accepted you, right? Right? Is that right? Is that right? Like, that's the only reason. The father wants, because he loves his daughter so much, he's trusting her judgment about it. But here in this portion, he really wants her to stay. And so he's like, no, please stay. Stay. I'm the one who loves you. There's no man that can love you the way I do. Stay. Be married. And no, he's not talking to her directly, but this is the meaning. He's like, stay, be married. Why are you so in a rush, right? He'll spend many nights just to convince her to stay. 4 months she was with him. 4 months that she didn't have to deal with his, you know, because she was unfaithful to him, right? Play the harlot. In some translations, play the whore. And this is that we're unfaithful to this world because of the spirit we have. So, I don't want to get ahead, but here we go. So, in verse 10, however, the man was not willing to spend that night, and he rose and departed. And then, I'm going to skip through a lot because, for time's sake. In verse 17, also, a picture, they finally leave, the Levite, the concubine, you know, the donkeys, the servant help, they finally left. Then they went to Bethlehem. The tribe of Bethlehem, location. And here in verse 17, when he raised his eyes and he saw the traveler in the open square of the city, and the old man said, where are you going and where do you come from? And he's talking to the Levite. So he said to him, we are passing from Bethlehem, in Judah towards the remote mountains of Ephraim. And I'm from there. And I went to Bethlehem in Judah. Now I am going to the house of the Lord, but there is no one who would take me into my house. So they're looking for a place to stay, right? The whole group, the whole little, you know, group that he had. And no one is welcoming them. No one is welcoming. No one is accepting them in. Okay? So in verse 19, and although we have both. So they already have things for the cattle that they had, and they had everything they needed, but they didn't have a place to go. I'm trying to say. Okay, so in verse 22, and this is why in verse 22, this is why this title is not the prodigal daughter, because you see why. In verse 22, as they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house and beat on the door. And they spoke to the master of the house and the old man, saying, bring out the man who came to your house, and that we may know him carnally. And the King James, know him. And but the man of the master of the house went out to them and said to them, no, my brethren, I beg you, do not act so wickedly, seeing this man has come into my house, and do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now, humble them, and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. And but the man would not heed him. So the man took his concubine and brought her out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. And this is what there's three enemies of a believer. There's the world system, the cosmo, there's the old sin nature, our flesh, and there's Satan and his demons, right? And they all have the same objective goal, to know us and abuse us. That's the only goal. Jeremiah 3:22, it says, return you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. The reason why backsliding is hurt so much is because the old sin nature is trying to get back something that doesn't belong to him anymore. That's the only reason. That's the why a double man stumbles in all his ways in James 1:8. The reason why he's stumbling because the enemy's trying to get back, but he's a child. You see that? When we accepted Christ, we're always a child. Obviously, we want to walk and have the experience all the time of the filling of the Spirit, for us to see ourselves in Christ all the time. But there is times when people leave this house, leave the presence of God, leave it all together, and have that feeling, and then the tossing and going, and it's like to and fro, like the wind. It's like it's a battle. But the enemy can't grab it back. That's why it hurts. And there's a danger of particle living. There's sometimes no return. And we'll finish this portion. Then the woman, verse 26. Then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house and where her master was till it was light. And when her master arose in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, there was his concubine, fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, "Get up and let us be going." But there was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. By the way, the reason why she's not responding is because she's dead. Okay, verse 29. And when he entered his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine, and divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. Forgive me if you've eaten. I apologize. This is not really a good graphic view. Anyway, verse 30. And so it was that all who has saw it said, "No such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came out from the land of Egypt until this day." And I like to amplify, it says, "Consider this," right? "Take counsel of it and speak your mind." Like, speak up or speak your mind. Like, consider this, like this happened. But you know what's sad? It's today it happens all the time. People go out and I'm speaking for myself. I was in prodigal living. I know there's the danger. There's no return. I'm not here to scare anybody. But this is what the world, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is not your friend. Yet, he's giving you kindly words and tender words and friendly words, right? It's persuading you to find yourself identified to this world. And when you find yourself identified to this world, it's just like Judges 19:1. It said that there was no king in Israel. When I have no king in my life, this is what happens. When I trust people with my security, this is what happens. The daughter was there in the house. She would have been another prodigal category or qualification of a prodigal. But yet she left. She was unfaithful to this man, but yet she was there. Her and her father. Any word, so in the portion where she's in the house, she's identified only as the daughter. But outside, she's the concubine. Right? And in the King James, she's the demsel. The unfaithful woman, the whore, whatever names that you can come up with, this was her. But in the father's house, son-in-law, it's something connected to the man, the heart. She didn't have no option, but basically, she's like, okay, I'm going with this Levite because, you know, and how many in a relationship is like, oh, I'm just following my heart. You know, he treats me right. Yeah, he makes mistakes. And vice versa, right? And then they take you out. They take you out. And then what the world is trying to do is know us and abuse us. Finding our identity outside of Christ, this is what happens. We get known and abused. We get chopped up. Maybe more than 12 pieces. And that's the danger of living this life, of a prodigal walk, right? So Ecclesiastes 1:8, and this was the year I told God, and I'm not going to mention where I was, but I was looking right in the mirror, crying. And I said, with the same routine, party mode. I'm done. I'm done seeking relationships that's not fruitful for me. I'm so done. And Ecclesiastes 1:8 says this, no eye is satisfied by seeing, no ear from hearing. How devastating for a young man to hear that. But it was good because I had people like Pastor Morrison call me out and say, hey, wake up. You're a child of God. You belong in the house. In the house is where you be married. In the house that you have joy. There's more feast to be eaten. There's more security to enjoy. There's more love to be shared. But outside of the house, there's nothing for you. There's a famine in the land. Just like the prodigal son witnessed. And that's what he witnessed. There was nothing in Luke 15:17. That's the only reason he went back to his father. But thank God. Thank God I have a father to go back to. Thank God that he, it says in Isaiah 30 verse 19, he says he's gracious, he's waiting to be gracious to me. He's waiting open arms. The prodigal son's father was waiting afar. He said, come on, come back, arms open wide. He says there's healing under his wings. Come on, Israel. Return to me. I will heal your backsliding. Return to me. I'm the one who loves you the more. No, not people, not tribes, not government systems, not even Levitical priests. This man was a Levite. I love you. Stay, be married. Don't go nowhere. That's how, like it says, God is the jealous God. Like this is the only reason. He's like, he wants you all to himself. And for you to experience that, and you to just stay in the love of God. Don't move. Spend another night. How many nights that he can say it? Just stay. Why are you leaving? Just stay. My daughter's here. I'm enjoying her company. Why are you leaving? Stay. Another night. And this is what happens. This is the result. The result is when I'm living prodigal living, I don't see myself in Christ. I have the enemy attacking me. I have my old flesh attacking me. And then the devil in his lie says, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. Be a servant. Go eat what the pigs were eating. That's what you deserve. Man, what a lie. Wasted time. I have a father to go to. I'm a child of God. And the only reason I'm here today is because I've felt this experience. I felt this love. I've lived these words. I felt the world telling me, oh, we're trying to know you. We're trying to identify you. And I said, no. It's inside. I feel it. I don't belong. They were trying to find a house or a place to be accepted. They couldn't find one. And you know, some Christians have the idea like, oh, I can have both worlds, you know, like good of both worlds. Maybe I can be good for the weekend and then, you know, I do my thing on the weekdays. No. Stay in the house. Where are you going? You felt his presence. You felt his love. Where are you going? Stay in the house. There's nothing out there for you. There's nothing out there for anybody. It's only God and he dwells. And this is what he wants. He doesn't want us to leave this communion. He doesn't want to leave this like the love that he has for us. It talks to Avery and it talks to me. This love is so much. It's not limited, right? And poor girl, right? She leaves with him, and then the end result, she leaves with this man, but yet the father is saying to stay. Wow, stay in the father's house. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray for anyone watching, Lord. Maybe they feel like they're not worthy or they've done too much. Oh, man. Wow. You exactly the people that God comes and rescues. You're the exact type that he comes and delivers. This is what he's in the business of. Redeeming. Changing. You're finding identity, true identity in the Father's house. Finding true security in the Father's house. Not what men and women value for any person. No one can put a value on you. You're already valuable. Once you know you're saved, you have a Father to go to. And thank you, God, that we have a Father we can run to in the time of need. My back is turned, Lord, but my neck isn't. Why? Because your love is crying out to me. Your love is reaching. Why? In Psalms 103, verse 12, our sins goes from as far as the east to the west. Why is it so far distance? It's for you and I to realize that His love for us comes from all directions. That's why it's so far. He wants that to not be the focal point. He wants His love for you to be the main thing, the premise of your life. And this is what we're trying. Let's stay in the Father's house. And those who are walking in their walks right now, and I'm not saying as a parent, Lord, like, oh, we did all we can. No, they're still a child of God. And they will hear it one day. They will hear it. There's famine in the land. I can't make that up. There's nothing for us. If you haven't been saved, just say this prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you. I accept you, Lord. Let me stay in the house. Let me know who I am by you, Lord. Identify me, Lord. Accept me, because I know once I accept you, I'm already accepted by the Beloved. Thank you. And Lord, for tonight, Lord, maybe we have family members that are not walking with God. Maybe we have young people that are not walking with God. Lord, please let them experience this famine to see the benefit of who you are, to see the reality of how good they were when they were in the Father's house. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you always come embracing, waiting for you, patiently waiting to be gracious to us, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.